Our first lesson this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
After Jesus has told his disciples that his suffering and death await him in Jerusalem, from the Gospel of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of the Lord. I have noticed something that I do not remember experiencing with such intensity among so many different people at the same time before. It comes up in conversation about all manner of things, whether it be the evening news or stories shared about the stress people feel or even the weather. It seems I cannot walk across the campus of this church or go to a casual, friendly gathering or talk to a friend on the phone without this intense feeling coming up in some way or another. It seems to have invaded so many arenas of life, from work to home to the ministry of the church to conversations about what is going on in the community and the world. And while it is expressed in various ways, what I'm talking about is the sense of being overwhelmed. I cannot tell you how many people have told me recently that they cannot watch the news anymore because so much is coming at us new every day. It's overwhelming. The church keeps pouring resources into doing good in the city and among our global mission partners, There is so much need, but we can seem barely to make a dent in it anymore. It's overwhelming. This early arrival of spring weather has become cause for concern, triggering fears either of global warming or memories of huge snowstorms that came before in March and might come again and kill every bloom. I find it endearing how many of you seek to interpret the weather for your southern pastor. Even this week's discovery of seven potentially life-supporting planets revolving around a distant star spoke to conversation about stress when a preacher friend of mine suggested that maybe God is way out there for a while, hovering over another Earth, and thereby just doesn't have the time now to create order out of our earthly chaos. People are overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the persistent signs of division in our country. Overwhelmed by the uncertainty of our international relations. Overwhelmed by the demands of home and work. Overwhelmed with concern for another loved one. You name it. I have a good friend with whom I keep up periodic long-distance phone calls, and her whole life has become overwhelming. She is dealing with an aging parent in decline and an adult child who is in a really bad place. She needs to make a vocational shift and is trying to figure out the finances. On top of all of that, which would be plenty enough for anyone to bear all at once, she has also been diagnosed with an odd autoimmune illness, which has a name, but does not have a clear treatment protocol until it progresses a little further. So she stands at a kind of crossroads, wanting to move forward, but not knowing which path to take. When I asked her recently, how on earth are you coping with all of this? She said, I feel like I'm in a cloud, like I'm driving through a very heavy fog. I have no idea what the long view looks like. All I can do is take it very slowly and pay attention to the thing that is right in front of me. At any given moment, I would hazard to guess that if not now, at one time or another, all of us know what that feels like of being completely overwhelmed. And most of us, I imagine, can relate to my friend's description of driving through a dense fog when you can barely see a few feet in front of the car, when all you can focus on is what is right in front of you, the taillights of the car ahead, or the lines down the center of the road, or the flashing sign on the mountain pass that says dense fog ahead, as if you needed to be told. Maybe. Just maybe the universal human feeling of being overwhelmed as if surrounded by fog is precisely why God often appears in a cloud. Because when we are in a cloud, when our visibility is very limited, God can appear to us so that we see only what is right in front of us. What is most important? What is life-saving even? And what will help us navigate on the far side when the cloud goes away? Both of our scripture readings are pivotal moments of God appearing in a thick cloud. Moses goes up on the mountain and God comes down. The text tells us the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. Glory is a word of many meanings: fame, honor, beauty, distinction, splendor. In Hebrew, it means weight and importance. And when it is a word applied to God, it means presence. It describes God's weighty importance revealed. To say that the glory of the Lord was on the mountain means that the full presence of God was there. Moses entered the cloud when he was overwhelmed. He had led his people out of slavery. They had been wandering for long years in the wilderness, complaining that there wasn't enough food, not enough water, and they had no idea where they were going. Even slavery back in Egypt was better than this, they complained. God called Moses up into the cloud so that he could not see the people down below or hear their grumbling and discontent for a moment, and he could focus solely on God and attend to God's instruction for their next steps. So too, Peter, James, and John were overwhelmed. Jesus had just told them that he was heading toward terrible suffering and death, followed by some confusing notion of being raised from the dead. What were they to make of that? They had left everything to follow Jesus with bright hope, and now he was talking about their following him down a path of doom and gloom. There was no way that they could see all of that and take it all in and make sense of it for themselves. So Jesus takes them up onto the mountain, and a cloud descends so that they can only see the thing that is right in front of them. And what they see is Jesus himself shining like the sun, revealing the presence of God in a moment of such splendor that it outshone everything else. They are enveloped by the glory of God. The great God of all creation, who once appeared in the fiery cloud to Moses and who swept the prophet Elijah up in a cloud, is there on the mountain of transfiguration. God's glory is revealed in Jesus himself. And then, shrouded in a cloud so thick it is hard to imagine what might lie ahead and how they would navigate their way forward, a most amazing, tender little thing happened. Matthew says, Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Jesus, who embodies the glory of God in his person, placed a hand on their shoulders. And he said to them, "Get up and do not be afraid." In our seasons of being so overwhelmed that we cannot see the way forward, that is how God comes to us. As one biblical commentator writes, God comes to us not simply in the brilliant cloud of mystery, not only in a voice thundering from heaven, but also in a human hand laid upon the shoulder. God comes to us quietly, gently, that we may draw near and not be afraid. God's glory is majestic and so far beyond our capacity to receive it that we can only take as much of God's glory as a human hand can hold. God's glory and magnificence are surpassed by God's willingness to shed them all in order that we might finally recognize God's love and gentleness. The measureless power that made the heavens and the earth concentrates in a hand reaching out to us. A hand on the shoulder, and a voice that says, "Do not be afraid," may not feel like enough right now in whatever it is that feels so overwhelming. But I wonder if we block everything else out for a moment and pay attention to that hand and that touch, and the gentleness of that voice saying, "There is something good out there beyond this overwhelming cloud that is so much greater than what we fear." Then maybe it will be enough for now. Maybe it can be enough for now. In a few minutes, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. A hand will reach out and offer you a piece of bread and a sip from a cup. Small, visible things that are right in front of us to remind us of a presence that is close up, tender, gentle, and powerful far beyond the clouds. Remember what Augustine said when he presided at the communion table some 1,500 years ago. Receive who you are. Become what you have received. Receive the touch of Christ. Become the touch of the body of Christ. Amid all that overwhelms us, we receive from God's hand and are invited not to fear. Receive who you are. Become what you have received. Amen.